Please be advised, this episode of Momsters discusses medical procedures, blood, and miscarriages. If you have difficulty with these topics or are easily triggered, we understand if you'd skip to the next episode. Thank you.
Are we rolling?
Yeah, what are we doing? Are we starting?
Oh, okay. Because we're just talking with...
My name is
Southway.
You
want to intro us in?
Welcome to Momsters Podcast, the podcast where we try to stay on topic and epically fail at fighting our ADD symptoms.
Hello!
I'm Carmi.
I'm Laurie.
Welcome to Momsters!
Monster!
So we're at 10 weeks this weekend.
Before the baby comes.
Not 10 weeks
into your pregnancy. Yes.
10 weeks to go, 30 weeks down. So I'm very excited. Third trimester. Made it, and I can't wait to not be pregnant anymore.
I can't wait to meet the baby.
I know. I saw something on one of my friends posted. Actually, she has a really cute account. It's called My Journal Brought to Life. And she said yesterday, I'm feeling grateful and grumpy. And I was like, that is my pregnancy mood.
Grateful and grumpy.
Because it's such a convergence of feelings. Like, I had a hard time getting to this point and, you know, feeling good about the fact that, like, I'm going to have this baby, this, you know, because I had such a hard time last year with miscarriages.
Right.
And so I'm so grateful that this pregnancy stuck and is healthy and is coming to full term now. But at the same time, it really sucks. It's been like a shitty pregnancy. It has not been a fun experience.
Remember when I read your cards and I told you December?
I do. Oh, we should do card reading one day.
We'll have to do that. Yes. But I read your cards and I said December.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So that's when I knew. And you're like, oh no.
I was pregnant then.
Yeah. Like, I don't even know.
And it wasn't.
And that wasn't the right pregnancy.
Yeah, so
yes.
I had two miscarriages last year. One was very early on. It was a chemical pregnancy, so it didn't really physically affect me too much. The second one I had, like, it was back-to-back. So it was December and then January I was pregnant again. And that experience was heart-wrenching. Actually, you were the one that told me. So I went to my 6 weeks appointment, and I was like, oh, you go for your ultrasound, no big deal. Because they don't really let you see the OB-GYN until you're 6 weeks in. There's no, you know, initial meeting.
Yeah.
Let's discuss
like,
this.
Let's, how's it going? Yeah, whatever. You pee on the stick, and that's how you know.
They don't even want to see you for the first 6 weeks because it's, honestly, because it's so likely that
it's not going to happen.
Yeah. I mean, the stars have to align. In order for
it's like one in every 10 women have a miscarriage for their first pregnancy.
Yes, and you don't even, I mean, it's totally underreported because you have no idea how many people have chemical pregnancies. I knew because I was constantly tested.
Right.
But if I hadn't been constantly testing,
you would have never known you were pregnant.
It was kind of like that one was a bad period. The second one, I went at 6 weeks and... You know, I wasn't expecting anything to be wrong. So I went by myself. Patrick was at work. And there was nothing on the ultrasound but a placenta gestational sac. It was, everything was empty. And so I didn't know what that meant. I called you. And I was like, what's going on?
Right.
And you were like.
Explain to
you. In a very nice way, gave me a dose of reality. Like, I don't think that.
Yeah, this is a viable pregnancy.
This is going to work. And then I also talked to my sister-in-law. She's been through it a couple times. And I just remember driving to the river, to Marine Park, which is the parking lot of the hospital where I had Lincoln. But my mother-in-law was watching Lincoln at the time. And I was like, I can't go home. I have to, like, go to the river. So I went and I just, like, bawled my eyes out. And then, you know, miscarriage is interesting because you think it's, like, a day or, you know, a couple hour thing, but I miscarried for literally a month
before they, because they didn't do anything with your miscarriage. They didn't schedule a DNC. They didn't schedule.
So what happened is they make you wait a certain amount of time because you want to make sure that, you know, your timing was wrong. Maybe the embryo just isn't growing yet.
Right.
So, you know, they confirmed everything and the hospital recommended a DNC, but the OB-GYN was like, you know, you could wait, you could see what happens. And so the options are, in case you don't know, because I don't think anybody knows until they're in the situation. If you're having a miscarriage, your body could just, you know, evacuate your uterus naturally.
Correct.
That can happen. You can take medication to have a technically
spontaneous abortion.
A medical abortion.
Or whatever, yes.
And that will assist your body in, you know, getting all the stuff out of there. Or the third option is a DNC.
Right.
Or a D&E, whatever.
Yeah.
Where, you know, they put you under anesthesia. Obviously, that's much more expensive. There's higher risks. And they just, like, you know, they clean you out. For me, like, I didn't know. At first, I had a missed miscarriage for the first couple of weeks. So the OB-GYNs knew. I knew mentally there's no embryo in here. But my body didn't recognize it until almost a month later. So, yeah, it's like a lot of waiting in the beginning. You're like, okay, when am I going to start spotting? Yeah. When am I going to start bleeding? And eventually, like, it interfered with work because they're like, well, when are you coming back? And I was like, I don't know. I don't know when I'm going to start bleeding. I don't know when I'm going to stop bleeding. So we scheduled a DNC for March 14th. And mind you, I got pregnant in January.
Right.
So this is still going on. I think my ultrasound was like mid-February. So March 14th, we had the DNC scheduled. I was like spotting up until then, but miscarried naturally on the night before my DNC was scheduled.
Oh, jeez.
Like for 11 hours, I was on the bathroom floor
hemorrhaging. I remember that. Yes.
It was... You don't know because you think I'm supposed to be bleeding this much. This is natural.
Right.
I was like passing out off the toilet. Like I can't even explain to you. I was in a puddle of blood on the ground in the bathroom. And so like the next day, DNC scheduled. I go in to see the doctor before that. And they're like, well, you know, it's mostly all gone. Like you got the, you know,
majority of whatever was
the
there.
Embryo was. Yes. Yeah. Because, oh gosh, there was one ultrasound where there was a heartbeat.
Yeah.
And so there was something in there at one point, but so I got most of it out by myself naturally, but you know, that's just, it's not always perfect. You don't get to decide I'm having a natural miscarriage and that's, you know,
right.
And so I kept bleeding and bleeding and bleeding. Because your body is trying to flush it out. And
whatever's left behind.
There's like a little bit of placenta left that's just stuck and it's not coming out. And eventually, you know, your body doesn't want... I think if you leave it in there forever, you die of sepsis.
Right.
So your body's like, we need to flush this out. We need to flush it out. And so I was bleeding, bleeding, bleeding for like a whole month after that. At one point, they gave me the abortion pill.
Right.
So that it could aid in getting...
Was that the same thing as Plan B?
It's not Plan B. No, it's
totally a different one. Okay.
Oh, gosh. I'm going
to I don't know. I haven't been pregnant in a long time.
Misoprostol.
I don't know.
So there's two different pills. And again, this is not medical advice. I'm not a doctor. I don't know what I'm talking about. But there's two pills that you take when you have a voluntary abortion.
Right.
Misoprostol and mifepristone. I'm sure I'm saying it wrong. And there's, like, a lot of issues with access to those medications right now. In New Jersey, it's not as big of an issue trying to access it. So, but if you go in, if you go in asking to terminate a pregnancy, they will give you these pills for whatever reason.
So they gave these pills to you to try to expel the placenta that was still attached to your uterus.
Yes. So for whatever reason, the protocol when you have an involuntary spontaneous abortion, which is a miscarriage, is they only give you one of the pills. So they don't give you the whole regimen.
Right.
And so when you go in for an abortion, not that I've had this experience, but it's kind of a quicker process.
Okay.
There's less effect right. on your daily life because you took all the medicine you needed.
But you now are missing 2 months of work.
Yeah, it was rough. And it's rough also because I didn't know I was going to be missing that much right. work. You just expect like, all right, well, you know, I
have a miscarriage.
I had
a miscarriage
yeah. on March 14th. Like, why am I still hemorrhaging? I even went to the office one day. It was the day before I had to go to the ER. I went into the office, started hemorrhaging again, went home, and the next morning I was bleeding out on the kitchen floor and Kath found me. Like, we had to have her watch Lincoln. Yeah. By the time I went to the ER, because I was so stubborn and I was just like, you're supposed to be bleeding. I've always bled a lot.
And we kept telling you, Karn.
No, and I'm calling, because the OB-GYN too, the doctor, I mean, they don't know what you're seeing. So, right. And they just, you know, they're like, people bleed a lot. It's, you know, it is an experience where you're going to bleed a lot. But I got to the point where I was like, I just lost a quart of blood. Like, you need to, you're not understanding.
So you're talking about all this blood stuff.
Sorry.
I know. But you know how we are with that.
Oh, I'm awful with blood.
We don't do, Maria gets a nosebleed and I'm out cold.
Oh yeah. So I'm bleeding and then I'm also passing out.
From the blood loss and from the mental. Yeah. Because we, whatever that is in our family, I know there is a term for it.
There's like a phobia.
Yes. And that is it. We have that. We see blood. Yes. Yes.
Yeah. So eventually.
You ended up in the hospital.
Eventually they convinced me that I needed to go to the hospital because I couldn't. I mean, by that time, I could barely move. I had lost so much blood over the course of so many weeks.
And it was your hemoglobin that, when they tested you, was very low.
Yeah, so my hemoglobin, we have slightly lower hemoglobin just because we have funky cells. We have slightly smaller cells. So it's never high. Mm-hmm. But usually it's at least, 10 for me.
Yeah.
By the time I got
that's
to the hospital,
that's a good one, 10. 10's like a good, what were you,
6.5. Yeah,
which is almost transfusion.
Yeah. It was past transfusion. I had to get 2 blood transfusions immediately. But I guess I was reading up on it. And if you get to, 5.5, your organs start shutting down. So I was too far.
Pretty close.
Yeah. Yes. I shouldn't have waited that long at all. But then... So they gave me the 2 blood transfusions, not even iron transfusions.
Yeah.
I needed a whole 2 bags of blood because I was dying, literally bleeding to death. And then they did an emergency D&E the next day. And I hemorrhaged again.
Oh,
and they had to, you know, put this whole balloon thing. It was a terrible experience. Brother. Anyway.
Wait a minute. Hold on.
Yeah, but it's, I don't know how we got on this topic, but it was like a really traumatic experience for me over a really long time. And it took me physically months to get my energy back after I lost that much blood because you don't just pop right back. I mean, you guys were here. Like, I was still very much a mess a couple weeks after that. I ended up taking a month of disability just to, you know, get myself back together. But, yeah, I mean, there's women now that can't even access that type of medical care, so that's really scary. Not that we're going to have a whole abortion talk right now, but you really need to be able to access the medical care that you need.
Even so you don't die.
Even if the stereotype is that this is the abortion pill,
it's
like, this is the treatment for when your body has an incomplete, it's called an incomplete abortion, but an incomplete...
Yeah.
Miscarriage. You know, when your body doesn't get rid of everything that's inside of you and it's, you know, slowly killing you, the treatment is that you get a D&E or you take this medication. And the medication is much less expensive, much less intrusive.
Right.
And, you know, much less of a risk.
Sure, because there's no infection,
you don't have to go under anesthesia.
Right. Yes.
And yeah, you'll see a lot of cases like my case where it's just, you know, in some cases you still need to go for D&E because the pill doesn't finish the job. But you need to be able to access that stuff. Like, if I didn't live in this state at that time, it would have been a really different story. And that's scary. It keeps me from traveling to other states sometimes because I get I get freaked out.
I was like, I know, but you're good.
Especially like we were. Oh, this is probably just paranoia, but we were in Disney when I was trying to get pregnant with this pregnancy.
Yes.
And it just so happened that I was pregnant when I was in Disney. It was in my 2 week wait, if you've heard of that. So I had conceived, but had not yet gotten a positive pregnancy test. And I was like, oh my God, I don't know if we should go to Florida. Cause what if something happens? Like, what if I
Because then you wouldn't be able to do anything.
I'm not going to be able to access.
And how are we getting you home?
Medical. Yeah. I would have to come home. There's no way I would, unless it was urgent. Because you would have to fight for your health care at that point, and that's really scary. You don't want your doctor pausing.
To be afraid of what their actions are when it's a medical necessity.
Yeah, and thinking about legal gray areas when they should be thinking about just straight medical treatment. And, yeah, I mean, we're seeing a lot of that coming up now in politics.
And for you, you weren't using it as a choice. It was a medical necessity.
Yeah, that's why it's scary, though, because the, you know, the law tries to make this distinction between an intentional abortion, an intentional termination of a pregnancy, and an involuntary termination of a pregnancy.
Yeah, but they're trying to loop it in as the same, because they're saying you can't have...
It's such a fine line.
Yeah.
Because you don't know, you know, how do you gauge a woman's intent... How do you do? There's no way that you can really answer that question in black and white. And so when you get into the legal areas, and if people are being predatory with these laws, you start going after women who just had miscarriages,
right?
Or women who are, you know, very late in their pregnancy and had horribly tragic circumstances, and you're coming in and questioning them, saying they might have broken a law. Like, nobody needs that.
I know. It's so traumatic on the mother. Period. Because nobody wants to be in that situation. No pregnant woman wants to be in that situation. Period.
No. And
everyone, when you're pregnant, your hope is for the best.
Well, especially in late-term abortion scenarios. Like,
right.
There is no one at 7, 8, 9 months who just wakes up and decides I'm not gonna have this baby anymore. If you're having a late term abortion, which by the way is less than 2% of total abortions, it almost never happens, but it's highly, highly regulated. But if you're having an abortion late term, it's because something has gone horribly wrong with your fetus, with your placenta. Maybe your life is at risk. Maybe the fetus's life is not developing properly. I mean, we just had a, I don't know if you were there and was talking about it when we were at the Sprinkle. She had a friend who had a, like, all of their organs.
Oh, yes, where the baby's organs were growing on the outside of her body.
Yeah, and she had a placental abruption.
Yeah.
And they didn't have a choice. She would have died.
Right.
Do you really want your doctor stopping, you know, and calling up your congressman to say, hey, what do you think about this situation?
Right.
Like, that's, so, I don't know how we got on this topic, but yeah. Oh, grateful. That's what I was saying. I'm so grateful
and grumpy.
I'm so grateful to have this pregnancy, really, truly. But it has been incredibly hard, incredibly intrusive every single day. It's not been an easy pregnancy.
Well, and that scared me when you were first pregnant, when you had the January pregnancy, because I'm going, okay, that doesn't work out time wise. Do you know what I mean? Like, me as the intuitive is going, that didn't work out with the timeline. And then you get pregnant again, and I'm like, yeah, that's still, we're not working out on the timeline. So it's not like you know something's going to happen, but you know, you're just like, okay. It's not that you worry about being wrong as a medium or a psychic or an intuitive, but you know what your gut's telling you.
Yeah, and you also don't want to jam it down someone's throat either, because it's like, if they're not ready.
Yeah, like, what am I going to tell you? Mm-hmm. Like, oh, Carm, does it go with your cards? Like, that's so... Yeah, yes. Not only is it cruel to tell somebody that, but, you know, we're not always right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean, there was that second where I had hope. We heard a heartbeat at one point, and then they, like, recalculated the due date and everything, and I knew. I have journal entries where I'm, like, trying to count the days because was taking pregnancy tests like almost every day. I was trying to get pregnant. So I knew like on this day, I definitely wasn't pregnant.
Right.
But maybe it just didn't show up until this day. And I'm like counting the 2 weeks and trying to make it make sense in my head.
That's the worst, because I had not the same experience of you, but a similar experience where I went for the, because I was 35 when I got pregnant and they had me go to be, you know, because you're advanced maternal
age. With Robbie,
age.
Right? Your first pregnancy?
It was before Robbie.
Oh,
my very first pregnancy.
Yes.
So I went and there was a heartbeat. You could hear, you know what I mean? Like it was there. There was the heartbeat. Mm-hmm. And then 10 weeks later, I went and there wasn't a heartbeat.
That's hard.
And that was, I could tell you what I was wearing that day. Like I could tell you everything. And so I have the DNA, right? And that was on a Thursday. And then I decide I'm going to come back to work on Tuesday. And I worked from home at the time. And I went into my office and I sat down at my desk and my phone rang. And I answered the phone and it was Uncle Dave. And his words were, turn on the TV. And it was September 11th.
Oh, my God.
2000. Yes. So it was, there was
That's so emotional. Your hormones are already
You're emotional for like so many reasons at this point. You are just, you don't know what to be sad over. You know what I mean? Like you're like, yeah.
But there is this expectation, even like I very much put the expectation on myself too, but there's this societal expectation that like, okay, you had a miscarriage, like take a week or like take a day and then you're going to be able to just like pop back into it. But not every miscarriage, not every D&E is that straightforward. Like there's super strange circumstances like mine where you end up hemorrhaging for a whole month and like you shouldn't be hemorrhaging at work. Like you
need
to be
at home.
What
other people don't take into consideration is what if that was the only pregnancy you could have had?
Right.
And you knew what it felt like to be pregnant and then you can't get pregnant afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
I think when it comes to women's health and especially when getting pregnant, the emotional side of it, no one really discusses that.
Yeah, I mean, there's almost zero recognition for not only miscarriage from an emotional standpoint, but when you're trying to have a baby and you're on that journey and you're
and the disappointment.
And then you get a pregnancy test and it's not what you expected. And now you have to wait another month. And like, you know, that's always in the back of your mind.
And it's in your mind, like, why am I failing?
Yes.
Like you always put it on yourself.
Yeah, even it's the same thing when I was miscarrying. I was like, this is normal. Why can't I just do this?
Yes.
This is what women do.
Yeah.
But you don't have any control over these scenarios. You don't know when you're going to get pregnant. You don't know what is going to happen between the point of conception and the 2 week period where you have to wait until you get a result.
Back in my day, you know, like you really had to wait even longer than that. You couldn't just take a pregnancy test. Like you had to wait longer. So you could have been pregnant. I mean, I knew I was pregnant with both of my children because I vomited. I never vomit. Never. So I was like, okay, I'm pregnant. I remember Robbie being with me with Maria.
You know what my clue was? So I have a weird thing that happens when I get pregnant. I get a double nipple hair that comes out of the same pore. And this has happened every time I've gotten pregnant. And so it's like a sure sign. And I remember Brittany and I were trying to get pregnant at the same time. And I was like, oh, I got the nipple hair.
Okay, that's weird.
That's how I know.
I vomited. I remember what I vomited. Robbie and I was eating this like phenomenal pasta salad from Wegmans that I don't even know if they make anymore. And I remember I ate it and I went immediately and vomited in the sink. And I turned to Robbie and I said, I think I'm pregnant. And he was what, 3, 4 at the time? Like he was just this little peanut, you know? And I look at him and I go, I think I'm pregnant, you know? And that was it. That's how I knew.
Did you have trouble after your first miscarriage, which was before Robbie? Did you have any issues getting pregnant with Robbie?
No, I didn't then. Mm-mm. Nope. I remember the days, the dates that I got pregnant. I remember, like, you know,
I remember weird things.
I remember everything.
You're not having sex enough days if you can pinpoint the day that you got pregnant.
I remember it. Never mind. that I remember.
It was like a special occasion because we...
Halftime of Monday Night Football. Okay, I remember. Okay. There, you want to know? And then I remember with Maria, because we had a party at the house and we were all drinking out on my deck. And my neighbors were over because, you know, my neighbors are like fun people. So my neighbors were over and then everybody left and we were drinking and... You know, and it was the Feast of Mary Magdalene, the day that I conceived Maria. I know. So when she was born, I waited then afterwards to have her baptized, christened on that day, too.
Oh, I didn't christen. I'm in trouble.
You don't have to.
That's kind of the topic of conversation, though, right? Not meeting parental expectations. That's where we were supposed to be going with this.
Well, yeah, I did not. Parental expectations. Yeah.
We've had some experiences with the church.
Jeez. Okay, so we just went, let's do parental. So parental expectations may be like a whole other episode.
Yeah, maybe.
Because
yeah.
I think we're going to have to like on this one with.
You know, like I made the decision not to sign my kid up for a religion.
A specific religion.
They knew what it religion. Even was.
Yeah.
So we're not super into organized religion.
I baptized my children Catholic because my grandfather, my grandfather was still alive and I'm very, very close to my grandfather and he would have been disappointed. I think he would have questioned it. I think if I didn't do it, he would have accepted it because he just loved me. Because it's me, nobody else would have been able to get away with that. But because it was me, he would have accepted it. But I chose not to because I respected him enough that he needed that. And he needed, you know, the four generation pictures and the, and he, and I did it really for him. I also did it with the intention of if they ever wanted to marry a Catholic, this is really funny now when I think of where my children are in their sexual orientation. So I think to myself, if they ever wanted to marry a Catholic, at least they're baptized. Do you know what I mean? And that's
because they won't let you. I don't understand the marriage rules for Catholicism because it feels like our family got special exceptions because I think technically an unmarried single mother is not supposed to be able to get married in the Catholic Church. But
my no, that's okay. That's allowed.
She had a bastard child out of wedlock and didn't marry the father. I think
he was dead. How are you going to do that? Okay, so
we maybe just skirted around the rules a little bit.
I knew that when. Okay, so again, this is like a long. I don't know if the rules have changed. I haven't been practicing Catholic in 30 years, maybe longer, and. I know, though, there was a time when if you were divorced, you could still go to church, but you couldn't receive communion.
That's so weird.
There's because you were divorced. I don't know. I don't remember the whole mom thing.
Anyway, I guess they're going to have to,
I don't know,
dip him in the ocean if he wants to marry a Catholic.
Well, whatever. We'll dip him in the ocean. That'll be fun. So speaking of christenings, then, I had a christening dress, which... My grandmother, who had cancer at the time, she had breast cancer when I was born.
Grandma Rita.
So this is my mother's mother. Yes. She walked across the bridge to Pittston because we lived in West Pittston. So she like walked across the bridge into town and bought me my christening dress.
Wow.
Yes. And I was christened in the dress. My sister was.
Me?
No, my sister.
No, but was
you
I?
You were.
Yeah.
Aunt Nikki was. Yes. We were all, Maria was. So was Sarah.
Oh, yeah, Sarah.
Yes, Sarah was christened. So all of the, any female in our family that was, you know,
I don't know
after
if Joe
me.
Got the dress or not.
No, Joe remember. Didn't get the dress. No, the boys wore different stuff.
I don't know what the rules are.
My son wore Dave's. So, but anyway, we all wore the dress. So, I mean, no pressure. Because you're having a girl. But I'm just... You could take your picture in the dress, but, you know.
Maybe.
Whatever you want to do.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I'm watching my kid. He's falling asleep.
It's about time.
Yeah. Well, I... Even earlier. He's been taking naps at like 6 p.m., which is...
Oh, so it's earlier than 6 p.m. We're okay. We're mid-afternoon, I think. I hope. So, yeah, so that's kind of like religion and miscarriages and...
Yeah, I guess that's politics where we're going. And... what about between Robbie and Maria? Did you have any issues conceiving?
No. We were somewhat careful. Not like whatever happened in between Robbie and Maria. And then I don't know what made us go. I don't even know how Maria came around then. Then all of a sudden, like Shazam, I was pregnant. Here's Maria. So, yeah. I think it worked out perfectly, though, with the two of them. Mm-hmm. Okay, so you want to hear a freaky story? I could tell you a real freaky story. Yeah. You ready? Robbie hates when I tell this story, but I'm going to tell.
All right.
So when Maria was born, Aunt Angie was a certain age, right? And she was just...
She's like 55? I'm trying to...
Diagnosed 50? With breast cancer, right? So Maria was born, and then Grandma had to go back because she came to help me, and then she had to go back because she was visiting me. I live an hour from her. She went because Aunt Angie was having surgery, so she wanted to be there for Aunt Angie's mastectomy. So she went back, and then there was a year later, and then she, you know, her cancer had spread, and then she decided that she was going to seek further treatment, you know, whatever it was, chemo.
Chemo, radiation. She got both. Yes. She got chemo and radiation.
Yes. However, her exact age is the exact age you're having your daughter at.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I'm having, so you're having, like, you would have been me in the whole scenario. So I am at Angie's age.
That's interesting.
Yes. But I'm not going to die yet.
Good. Don't.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to die. Okay. When I'm 102, I'm going to die.
Leave
but
me with all these people.
I'm going to be the last one. You know that. We talk about that all the time.
I feel like my mother's going to be the last one.
Oh, no. She's gone before me. She's gone before me.
She's just so healthy.
And then every time. And then she'll be able to talk to me all the time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I just found that weird. I'm like, oh, my goodness. Is that like a generational thing? Because she said, and Angie always said, once her mother died, right? Because her mother died when she was
16.
Going on 17, I was 6 weeks old, and her
How
mother
old
died
was
of
grandma?
Breast cancer, 22.
Grandma was 22.
Yes. So she always said, I'm going to die just like my mother. I'm going to die just like my mother.
She did.
Wait.
On the same
day. On the same day.
What was, it was like exactly 43 years.
43 years 40, apart.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yes. I know. How does that happen, right?
Not enough medical research is on that.
No, okay.
Advances
so
in
the whole breast
technology.
Cancer thing, I know.
That's
and that
sad.
None and right.
That's, but, I asked Grandma if she wanted to go to a breast cancer walk once after Aunt Angie died, and she was like, "What's the point?"
I know. People are still dying from it anyway.
Yeah, I mean, she's like, "It's not gonna.
What's
died
it gonna do?
40 years apart. It's not gonna change anything."
I know.
So that's sad. Although I think maybe not in terms of breast cancer, but I have seen some advances in cancer treatment where you can get a lot of these like infusions now instead of radiation. Mom has a very limited form of skin cancer in her legs, and she's been getting infusions instead of chemo. And well, it might be like a form of chemo, but even Patrick's grandmother, she had lung cancer and she took a pill for it. So it seems like there's more advancement now.
Yeah.
Hopefully, I'd like to think that. Hopefully we don't all die of the same thing. We got tested, though, right? Aunt Nikki doesn't have BRCA. Or...
Correct. Aunt Nikki does not have it.
So we were very fortunate to have the resources to be able to get genetic testing. I've never gotten it because I'm terrified that they're going to steal my information.
That's your brother.
So I'll never know. But my husband ended up getting tested because my sister-in-law wanted to confirm her hypothesis that they were identical twins, even though they claimed to be fraternal. So they're in the system forever now. They are, in fact, identical.
Well, I had Papa and my father.
Oh, yeah. He got tested.
My father. No, he was I had him and Uncle Beach do the DNA, the ancestry thing, where they check your DNA to see where you came from.
I really want to do. Well, so I want to know because I don't know. I have this weird scenario with my father's family where, like, my biological father's father was...
the first child of a different marriage than everyone else.
That's the best way to explain it. So his siblings, who I...
all have a different father.
To, they don't have the same genetic makeup.
Right.
And there's apparently... what we're told is that my biological great-grandfather, so my father's grandfather, was Native American. We don't know how Native American he was, but I would just love to know. For the mere fact that, you know, I grew up really identifying with that culture and respecting it more because... yeah.
It's you.
You know, obviously I'm not going to do like Elizabeth Warren's Pocahontas thing. You know, I didn't live the experience of a Native American girl growing up in this country. I'm not trying to exploit it, but I would love to know. I think that would be so interesting. And there's nowhere else to get that information.
Other than them taking your blood.
So, yeah, that's maybe. Maybe, but they can't have it now.
You were in the hospital for so long. I am sure it is somewhere.
Oh, gosh. Don't tell me that.
I didn't even know my blood type.
B plus. Oh, and Lincoln's got the best one.
Oh, he's asleep now.
Lincoln has the jackpot blood.
What is that?
He's
got something?
A, B positive, which means that he is a universal receiver. So like, you know, when you go to give blood, they want you to be O because that's the universal donor.
Okay.
But Lincoln can take almost any blood, I think, as long as it's positive, I think.
Yeah, I don't know. I have no idea what I am.
So
and you know what they told me? They're like, oh, go to one of the blood, like go to donate blood and they'll be able to tell you. I'm like, I can't donate blood.
Yeah.
Like, I can't.
You don't
No, they won't even take it. It's not even that we don't.
It's a little bit of anemia. It's not anemia, but it's a little bit of weirdness in our cells. I don't know how to explain that from a medical standpoint, but
they're shaped different than everybody else's.
They are, though. They're a little bit smaller.
Yeah. Yes. So, all right. This was an interesting topic.
Yeah, we went completely in a different direction, but that's fine.
I know.
You know, I think
that's the story of my life.
I think people need to talk more about, and it's so hard. I always said, you know, if I have a miscarriage, I post everything. So I'm going to be the one to like post about it. And then when it happens, you're just like, I couldn't talk about it at all.
I know. It's very emotional.
It
plays with your head.
Yeah. Now I'm in a better place with it, but it's still hard to like talk about it. And especially now with the politics, like you see so many abortion stories and so many, you know,
but we are nothing. We are nothing as humans if we don't have hope. So I could understand why it would be difficult.
I hope that we will vote for women's reproductive rights.
And I hope that if you were listening to us now and you had gone through a miscarriage,
you feel a little less alone.
You feel, you know,
a little more validated in your fears and your, you know, your emotional experiences.
Yeah, we're with you.
Yeah.
All right. That's the end until the next time.